everybody. Bill Buckmaster along with my buddy Matt Neely with us on the other side of the glass, engineering and producing the show. Together we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show. It's Thursday, August 18th, 2022. Good rain last night. Almost, well, a little over an inch up at our place. And for the monsoon, we're around 8 inches. And we're in the lower foothills area while the airport, the official recording station, continues to show a trace of rain. I just don't know how it happens. They must be in this little bitty pocket, just surrounded by, you know, all this moisture, and they just don't get any. So, I mean, they've really had for the year, like, maybe 2.5 inches of rain. The Buckmaster Show, broadcasting from the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studio, the radio station 1030 KVOI, Tucson's source for trusted news talk, worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. When we do our telephone interviews, which we will do for our first two segments today, our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Well, the number of migrants processed by U.S. immigration authorities along the southern border decreased for the second month in a row in July, a sign that the record levels of unlawful migration recorded over the past year is plateauing during the summer, according to the federal government. Let's go now on the live line to Joel Smith. Joel is the operations manager for the Tucson-based humanitarian organization known as Humane Borders. Hey, Joel, how are you?
I'm just fine, sir. How about yourself?
Doing well. Thank you for asking. Are you noticing a decrease in migration?
To be honest, we really haven't. We're still seeing about the same amount out there. The water usage, despite all the rain, has remained constant, and we're still seeing Border Patrol apprehending migrants about the same numbers as before. So we're not noticing an overall effect. They may be speaking of the entire border rather than just the Tucson sector.
Joel, tell our listeners a little bit about Humane Borders. The organization was known and got a lot of national publicity about water stations. Where are you today in 2022, Joel? Tell me about the organization.
So the organization is still maintaining our entire goal is to prevent deaths in the desert. We currently have 45 stations scattered throughout the desert. Around Sausalito, Nogales, Tucson area, as well as Rookville, basically at the Oregon Pipe areas as well. As someone once said years ago, we're trying to take death out of the equation of migration.
How does the Border Patrol, how do you work with the Border Patrol? Is it a pretty good relationship?
They basically leave us alone, and we don't have much contact with them anymore. They know where our stations are. They know who we are. And, there's no conflict. People make it like some sort of baseball game. That's really not. They just kind of ignore us, and we just go about our business, too.
How many members do you have? This takes a lot of work, doesn't it, filling those water stations? I believe you said there are 45 of them. That takes a lot of work.
Yeah, it does. We have about 2 dozen active members, probably about a dozen inactive members that come and they go. And we always have a constant influx of visitors from out of state, people who want to see the desert, understand what's going on out here with the migration equation. We really have problems with manpower, so we're doing well these days.
The deaths in the desert, is that situation any better this year now that we have the rainy season? What's the update on that?
The last I saw from our death mapper was at the end of last month, and it looked pretty bad in a couple of places. I went to a couple of death sites just south of Three Points, north of Sausalito, and kind of difficult to describe the area since nothing's out there for a geographical point. But went to a couple of death sites out there, and there's quite a bit of recent activity out there. So it surprised me. But unfortunately, there's a lack of roads and infrastructure, and that kind of hinders our organization.
You keep a map called the death site map. Is that what I hear you say?
The death maps, yes, sir. It's an initiative with the Pima County Medical Examiner's Office, open GIS source, and it's at humaneborders.info.
Where is the main area where the deaths are the most pronounced, Joel Smith?
It varies month to month. Right now, Cabeza Prieta is giving the Kehoe Nation a good run for its money, unfortunately. Both areas are killing Creoles, and the number of deaths out there are very high.
You know, we've had, as you know, Reverend Hoover, the founder of Humane Borders, and of course he left the organization, I don't know, about 10 years ago. How has the mission changed since he left?
I started about the same time he left, and basically we're not affiliated with First Christian Ministry anymore, and we're not affiliated with any actual church, but we're still rather faith-based. I try to maintain that, and we still rely on just volunteers. The structure was already in place, and we just maintained it.
It really must be heartbreaking dealing with men, women, and children when you come upon the bodies in the desert. What kind of an emotional toll has that taken on you, Joel Smith?
No, it's been rough. I found human remains before. That's a little bit unsettling, to say the least, as you can imagine. The worst part of my job is having to leave people out in the desert. I can honestly say that when I have to leave women and children out there, or young people out there, because I can't transport them. That'll be violating federal law outright. It's frustrating.
Where can people find out more about your organization and if they'd like to join and help out?
We have a website, humaneborders.org. We're based here in Tucson. Actually, we're in the city of South Tucson itself. And we're still operating. We're still running the trucks, and we're maintaining the station well, and we're doing our best to prevent death.
How did you get involved?
I'm actually from Tucson, and over the years, I used to work in factories when the country still had them. And we'd be in the break room reading the Arizona Daily Star, the Tucson Citizen, and there'd be awful stories about women, children, and young people dying in the desert. And back then, when in the age of journalism, when you still had a lot of journalists, there'd be in-depth stories and little semi-biographies about the dead migrants. They humanized them, man. And we'd be in the break room reading this. It's like, geez, this poor guy just came here looking for a job.
Okay, Joel, I'm sorry. We've only got a minute or two left, and we do have a caller. Matt has called us. Matt, go ahead. You're with Joel Smith of Humane Borders.
Yeah. Hey, Joel, I remember just a few years back we had a member of one of your groups, not necessarily yours, that had been targeted by a U.S. attorney. And either CBP or Border Patrol regarding, just assisting because they simply provided some basic human response to some smugglers. In general, have you seen a lessening of the confrontation between them assuming that, treating you as traffickers versus doing what you do? Do you have any thoughts about the ongoing fentanyl problem with the smugglers? And just look forward to hearing what you say. Thank you. Bye.
Okay, well, that was the case of Dr. Scott Warren of No More Deaths. He was being charged with aiding and abetting for giving blue jeans and water to migrants in the Ajo area. And basically, he was looking at more time in jail than what a bank robber or a rapist would get. So fortunately, the first trial ended in a hung jury. The second jury acquitted him. Humanitarian aid is not a crime. And that needs to be stressed. And as far as smugglers and whatnot goes, I don't deal with them. I deal with people. I'm on the desert. I'm not a bartender. I'm providing water. I'm not monitoring the station. I'm not checking anybody's paper. I'm not requiring anybody to prove that they're a good economic migrant again or what. You know, I don't care if it's an American hunter or a hiker that got lost. The water is there.
Okay.
And four people.
Joel Smith, thank you very much. Joel from Operations Manager for Humane Borders. Thank you, Joel.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate your time.
All right. Joel Smith of Humane Borders. Coming up next, hard to believe, but college football season kicks off 1 week from Saturday. We'll talk about it with Anthony Jimeno of All Sports Tucson after the break.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
Delivering a $2 billion voter-approved regional transportation plan involves complex policy, legal, and financial matters. The Regional Transportation Authority is open to answering any questions you have about delivery of the current RTA 20-year plan or about the development of a new regional transportation plan for the next 20 years. Contact the RTA at info@rtamobility.com. The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. We are in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. We love Green Things, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. They're open daily. Their website, greenthingsaz.com. Also, their sister business, zocalovillage.com, for all that beautiful merchandise, much of it handcrafted from Mexico. Also, additional support comes from our friends in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. You think we've had a lot of rain here. It's really over greened up over in the land of enchantment, making it very enchanting. Southwest New Mexico is your starting point.org for what to do, and there's all sorts of recreation, outdoor recreation, just kind of hanging out in a beautiful atmosphere of the Silver City and Grant County area. Also, where to stay, all that information at southwestnewmexico.org. It's just about a three-hour drive east of Tucson. Might be a great weekend getaway. The college football season kicks off 1 week from Saturday, and then a week later, the University of Arizona Wildcat football season starts in San Diego, when the Cats take on the University of San Diego Aztecs as the Aztecs debut their new stadium before a national TV audience. Let's go now on the live line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Sports journalist Anthony Jimino, over 30 years writing about UA athletics, including covering the football beat for the Star and the then Citizen. Anthony is senior editor for Lindy's Football Annuals, and he's the co-founder of a very popular local sports blog, AllSportsTucson.com. Anthony, how are you, sir?
Oh, I'm good. It's close to college football season, so what's better than that?
I know. And you know, the future of college football conference realignment has been center stage, certainly in the off season. But Anthony, the reality for the University of Arizona Wildcats and other college football teams is that's down the road. The season is here right now.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it will all be done within the subtext of what's going to happen next. And, you know, there was news this morning where the Big Ten signed its new media rights deal with multiple media partners for like more than $1 billion a year. And the Big Ten also signaled at that time that they're not necessarily done expanding. So that's not necessarily good news for the Pac-12, because there are other schools that the Big Ten could raid, Washington, Oregon, Stanford, for example, which would affect what happens to the rest of the league down the road. So it's a trying time, but we can also just kind of focus on football if we decide to do that.
Hey, Anthony, your cell's kind of breaking up a little bit. I don't know if it's the way you're holding it, or do you want to call us right back, or what?
I'll leave that to you. What do you think?
Yeah, try calling us right back, and I will ad-lib for about 30 seconds.
Okay.
All right. Anthony Jimino is with us on the live line, and we'll get Anthony's take on how this Wildcat team looks. You know, Jed Fish is second season. They did manage to get one win last year, and I think they'll be definitely hoping for things looking a little better this year. I, who knows how many games they will win, but they're hoping for a better season. Anthony, back with us.
I am.
Okay, you sound 100% better.
Right.
So Jed Fish had one win last year, his opening season. Realistically, how's this team looking? They've got a really – normally schools don't have tough – pre-conference season, but this is a tough pre-conference.
It is. So any improvement may be tempered by a difficult schedule. You'd already mentioned the opener at San Diego State, which coincides with their brand new stadium debuting. So there's going to be a lot of hype around that for the Aztecs. And then you get an SEC team here in Tucson. That doesn't happen very often. Mississippi State's coming here, coached by Mike Leach. I think we're all familiar with Mike Leach and his air raid passing attack. And he has a very talented returning quarterback named Will Rogers. And they're going to throw the ball all over the yard. So, again, very difficult game. Then the third game, you say, oh, well, you know, it's not even a top-level FBS program, it's North Dakota State. Problem is, North Dakota State is a multiple time champion of the lower division, and they're the preseason number one team. They have a history of beating major conference teams. They're really good. So none of those line up as
I'm not even sure Arizona would be a favorite against North Dakota State, to be honest. So,
no, I don't think so. The Bison, yeah. The Bisons have such a rich tradition of football. They're kind of like the Ohio State of the second tier.
I mean, they have been the power there for the last several years. So, you know, Arizona's best chance for an early win, a win in September, may come at the Pac-12 opener at Cal. So it's very difficult. And, you know, the league's still league's pretty good. So you're hoping Arizona can get to 3 to 4 wins this year and make some progress in that category to build on some of the momentum Jed Fish has established in terms of recruiting and things like that. But even getting to that won't be easy.
I just hope they're entertaining, and they should be. This quarterback sounds like he's got the arm. He's got quite a gun.
Well, they've upgraded the quarterback room for sure. And we're talking about the transfer from Washington State, Jaden Delora, who was the Pac-12 Offensive Freshman of the Year last year. So obviously he's done it at this level. He's had success. He's got to learn Arizona system and all, but there's certainly some promise there. And then they also have the true freshman, Noah Fifita, who was a really key recruit for Jed Fish and his staff last year. He helped bring in a lot of other top big-name recruits. He's a little undersized for a quarterback, but I'm totally cool with that. He sure seems to have a lot of skills, big arm, accuracy, and all that. And you know, we've seen undersized quarterbacks do well here at Arizona in the past. One of my favorite guys of all time here at Arizona was Keith Smith back in the mid to late 90s when he was tag-teaming a little bit with Ortiz Jenkins. And, you know, Keith didn't go much beyond, I think they probably list him at 5'10", but that, even that may have been generous, but what an exciting and talented kid. So I'm not, you know, some schools get scared off by lack of quarterback height, and I'm glad Arizona decided, yeah, this kid was one of the most prolific passers in California, which says a lot. So also very excited to see him. So definitely the quarterback room has been upgraded.
Anthony Jimeno with us from All Sports Tucson. Anthony, beside Cal, who else would you mark in as very competitive for the Cats?
Well, you hope the week after they play Cal to begin October, they play Colorado here. That's a game. If Arizona's going to make some hay, they got to win that game. And frankly, there's not a whole heck of a lot else that you figure they're going to be favored in for sure. You know, they get Washington State here in the middle of November. So much can happen before them. Arizona State is in a bit of disarray. They did not have a very good off season with some of their assistant coaches changing. Some of their they have some an NCAA investigation looming over their head. So I'm not sure Arizona State is going to be as good as people thought they might have been this year. And really, this is, you know, to get ASU here in Tucson with the Sun Devils coming in with a 5-game winning streak in the series. I mean, Arizona's got to stop that really quick because of those kind of things, as we saw, you remember from the 82 through 1990 seasons when Arizona went on their 9-game unbeaten streak and had multiple improbable wins, and things like that really begin to take on a life of its own after a while. So I think Arizona State, I think those two November games I mentioned are ones Arizona can pick off. But, you know, Arizona was also really competitive in most games last year. You know, you'll recall that, you know, they went into the fourth quarter certainly within a score of BYU and Oregon and Utah and USC and Washington. Yeah. And they just didn't either have enough offense or enough depth to really do that full 60-minute game. And, you know, hopefully with another recruit, Jed Fish's second recruiting class, maybe he's built a little bit of depth. They should be better on offense. So in some of those cases, to pull off an upset, you're not trying to go from, oh, we lost by 30 and now we're trying to win this year. in a lot of cases is we lost close. We just need to be 10% better. We don't need to be 50% better to pull off some upsets.
Well, we'll hope so and keep our fingers crossed. The field, I've only got a few seconds. They've got some new turf. I would have liked to have seen grass. The return to real grass didn't happen, but I guess it's pretty good for what it is, right?
Yeah, I mean, this is top of the line artificial turf, I guess. I don't think they call it that anymore. And we all love the old grass, of course, because it was a wonderful, beautiful grass field. But this is cost-effective. It's cheaper upkeep than a natural grass, and it allows them to use the stadium for other kind of events, including graduation, where they can get a whole bunch of people on that field and it won't kill the grass. So it allows them a little flexibility and saves them some money, too.
All right, Anthony Jimeno, always a pleasure. Thank you at All Sports Tucson. Thanks, Anthony.
Thanks, Bill.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com. Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
It's time for the CEO interview series on the Buckmaster Show, presented by Sun Corridor Inc., a transformative economic development organization representing one of the most dynamic and growing major business centers in North America. Sun Corridor, Inc. is a CEO-driven regional alliance whose members aggressively champion mega-regional issues that impact economic competitiveness and quality of life. The organization has helped to drive significant business investment into the Tucson and Southern Arizona region through primary job creation, resulting in an economic impact of $32 billion, with nearly 200 company locates and expansions, supporting nearly 55,000 jobs. For more information, visit suncorridorinc.com.
And with us now in studio, John Winchester. John, recently named Southern Arizona Director of ASU's Government and Community Engagement Team, which represents and advances ASU's relationships and its policy agenda with local government, community, and business leaders in Pima County, City of Tucson, Marana, Oro Valley, and other neighboring communities. John's a native of Tucson. He does have a U of A connection, and that's his master's degree in Public Administration from the University of Arizona, a Flynn Brown Fellow. John is chair of the Emerging Leaders Council through the Tucson Metro Chamber of Commerce. He's also newly named to the Board of Directors of Sun Corridor, Inc. John, good to see you.
Great to see you, Bill. It's been a while.
It has been a while. I'm so glad.
But I follow you on Facebook.
Thank you very much. I do appreciate that. Tell me a little bit about this new job as Southern Arizona's director of ASU's Government and Community Engagement Team. What is that team all about?
Sure. ASU has tasked me with the responsibility of primarily holding relationships for them. I build and look to the future for what those relationships might entail. But we identify leaders here in Southern Arizona, and I have a lot of those relationships already. But it's really about holding those, and then when an opportunity comes, being able to partner. Southern Arizona is a very community oriented region, very unlike Phoenix. And to get anything done in Southern Arizona, you have to be seen as a community partner. Otherwise,
a collaborator.
Yeah. Otherwise, you default to competitor. And ASU doesn't want to do that. ASU wants to be seen in Southern Arizona as a resource to advance workforce needs, research needs in the areas that are important to Southern Arizona. Not to transplant Phoenix down here, but to enhance what the leadership down here is already doing.
So to show the flag, if you will, and wave the ASU flag, not that the flag has not already been planted here. Mm-hmm. I mean, ASU's people may not realize it, but they've had an academic presence in the city of Tucson for a while, haven't they?
40 years. ASU has been, their social work program has been here in Tucson for 40 years. Currently, for the last 12, 15 years, we've been in the United Way building over off of Bonita, just north of Congress and I-10. But in the last 4 years, they've invested $4 million into community impact projects in areas of related to public health, mental health, substance abuse. And that's everything from research to training and getting people into the social work and social service programs, both in government and in nonprofits. Their impact here, it's a quiet one, but it's a large one. And especially in a place, in a town, in a region where nonprofits are so, there's so many. And we have so much need. ASU is really leading the way in that sector.
Tell me a little bit about the perception that you have run into when you tell people, I'm representing ASU.
Sure. So as a Tucson native, I grew up four blocks from the University of Arizona. I spent a good part of my life hanging out on the campus. I remember the old student union.
Sure.
I went to the old Gallagher Theater. The favorite movie I watched there was Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves when it came out. I played pickup games on the green with the ROTC guys. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know the campus and I know the area I grew up in. I've got three degrees from the University of Arizona, and it's a great institution. But
so you did your undergraduate work as well as the master's.
Two graduate programs.
Okay.
So I love the University of Arizona, and so when I talk to people about what is ASU doing down here, why ASU? How could you go work for ASU? And actually, The first thing I thought of is back in the 90s when Lou Olson would do those, I think it was Chase
with
Bank
with
Coach Frieder.
Yeah.
And I thought if Lou Olson can do it,
right.
And I think he's Mr. Tucson.
Yeah.
Then why can't I do it? But ASU, mm-hmm. Seriously, I'm here for the community impact. I'm here for Tucson and the greater Tucson, Southern Arizona region. And ASU has some incredible tools to help us move our community forward. And that's what I'm here for. And I remember when I was interviewing for the job, I told him, I said, you know, you could be Southern New Hampshire University,
yeah.
But if you had the bag of tools, if they had the bag of tools and the opportunity to serve in that capacity, that's where I'd be. And this is just a phenomenal opportunity to bring what ASU has. In this modern era, 90 miles isn't that far.
Right.
And we can bring what ASU has and leverage it in Southern Arizona to move our economy and our people forward. And that's what I'm doing.
And what does ASU have these days?
Man, there's a lot. First of all, the Michael Crow's vision of what a university is and what he's created it's a stark difference from my experience in working in higher ed, and I've been to hundreds of universities,
mm-hmm.
Throughout my professional career, and it's a stark difference. And I think it starts with his mission is to take what a university does, and that is produces students, research capabilities, knowledge production, and make it mean something to whatever community they reside in. And so what ASU does is it takes all of these areas that it cultivates, and it finds out where the community needs, and it leverages those tools, whether it's taking professors and knowledge and working in private sectors and technology and aerospace and a host of other areas and making it better. Sky Song as a tech park, as a technology center is massive, and it's incredible in what they're producing and what it means to Phoenix, the Phoenix, greater Phoenix area. What they're doing in chip technology, the CHIPS bill that just passed in the federal government,
mm-hmm.
Arizona State was a massive force behind getting that passed and championing that through Senator Mark Kelly. They have been focused on those things that relate to their areas of expertise, their areas of interest. And now Michael Crow has decided that he wants to see what he can do in Southern Arizona. What can he do to leverage the strengths of ASU, not compete with the U of A, but to in the areas that the U of A doesn't work in, where can ASU leverage their strengths? And they have quite a few.
And I know that Dr. Robbins at the U of A does not, in our conversations with Dr. Robbins, he doesn't see like ASU invading Southern Arizona in, you know, kind of robbing us of academic qualification or technology and all that. He sees it more as a collaboration.
There's a lot of collaboration. I mean, most people wouldn't know, Bill, that the University of Arizona and ASU are a collaborator on urban sustainability efforts with the city of Tucson.
Mm-hmm.
We both work in tandem and in conjunction with the mayor's office and their sustainability officer to help create solutions for the future of sustainability and urban sustainability here in Southern Arizona. And of course, Southern Arizona has always been a leader in sustainability. We think about water, mm-hmm. going back to the 80s and before. And our water usage and construction and things related to both commercial and residential construction. So Southern Arizona has been a leader in that. And now ASU with their strengths in sustainability and the University of Arizona with their strengths in sustainability coming together, collaborating and working on a project. That's just one, but I think it's a phenomenal one.
I know we need to keep more of our talented young people in Arizona after they graduate, whether it's from NAU, ASU, or the U of A.
Sure.
How do we do that?
Southern Arizona struggles because a lot of our industry is related to government. And in order for us to be able to keep and retain that talent, we have to start developing economy much beyond local government jobs. And I think we're headed in that direction, Bill. I work with Pima County's Department of Economic Development, Heath Vescovi, Chiordi, he's running there, and Barbara Coffey, and I've got a good friend that works in economic initiatives for the city of Tucson. They're both about to launch, city of Tucson's a little ahead, they're about to launch their new strategic plan for economic development, but Pima County is in the midst of a major overhaul of what they're focusing on, and that's all in development of economic activity around the strengths of our region. And one of the biggest ones of those is aerospace. We should mm-hmm. be expanding and growing in aerospace. I mean, you've heard yeah. a lot of this.
Yeah.
But now they want to form a regional effort towards that. And that's partnerships, creating partnerships with research institutions, ASU is one, as well as private corporations to commercialize the research and to make it mean something in the broader world. And we have a huge ability. That's just one area. But that's I think we're getting there. And as we develop those areas – more and more young people are going to see that they have jobs and viability and opportunity here, and they'll stay.
All right, we're going to pause right here with John Winchester. It is our CEO interview series presented by Sun Corridor, Inc. John, his new job with ASU, he's really excited about it, I can tell. He's got a lot of enthusiasm. Southern Arizona Director of ASU's Government and Community Engagement Team. We'll talk more about economic development right after this.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Delivering a $2 billion voter-approved regional transportation plan involves complex policy, legal, and financial matters. The Regional Transportation Authority is open to answering any questions you have about delivery of the current RTA 20-year plan or about the development of a new regional transportation plan for the next 20 years. Contact the RTA at info@rtamobility.com.
Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, and we continue now with our CEO interview series presented by our friends at Sun Corridor, Inc. This month's guest is John Winchester, recently named Southern Arizona Director of ASU's Government and Community Engagement Team. He's also now a member of the Board of Directors of Sun Corridor, Inc. John, before the break, we talked about, started to kind of get into economic development. What is sort of your vision? I know that Sun Corridor has put out kind of a blueprint of recovery from the pandemic. What are some of the things that you would like to highlight?
I think what Sun Corridor, Joe Snell and his team really synthesizes what a lot of people and a lot of different organizations involved in economic development across the valley are saying. And there's really, and ASU's role in all of it, is, I think, twofold. One is workforce development. There's a lot of cohesion around this. The state of Arizona in the last three cycles at the legislature have allotted money for the New Economy Initiative. And that is they have been giving tens of millions of dollars into the university system to they've discovered or decided on what the future of work is going to be in the state and where these industries are that the universities and the state are strong in, and they're investing to produce more in that direction. Mm-hmm. And so both the University of Arizona, Arizona State University, and up in Flagstaff and Northern Arizona University are all part of this, and they're all contributing in their way. It's a great recognition of where the lanes are for the universities. But those needs overlap in regions. And so advanced manufacturing is one of the areas, just as an example, that ASU is deeply embedded in and where it specializes in. And that's one of their focuses, that they've been using their New Economy Initiative dollars from the state of Arizona to invest in turning out more students and more knowledge in that space, so that manufacturing comes to the state of Arizona, and specifically in Southern Arizona, aerospace manufacturing. So that's an overlap area where ASU thrives in and Southern Arizona has need in that we can provide. So workforce is one of those issues that Suncorder has put out that ASU just fits right into is workforce. The other one is tangential to that, but they are directly involved in that, and that is a company recruitment. We, as institutions, the University of Arizona is also involved in company recruitment. They're a major piece. Companies want to go where the research is.
Sure.
And ASU, in Southern Arizona, we have one resident, large resident university, but just up the road, we have another one. Mm-hmm. And that means the region is close to two major research institutions that focus on different things that are related to both aerospace. NASA uses both.
Mm-hmm.
That's a major recruitment tool to bring in both for organizations in this new economy, in these new kinds of jobs that are coming up to advance the new economy. Arizona State and the University of Arizona are common tools to be leveraged in this region to help advance those and to make our economy here locally stronger, sustainable, and help our region.
Your boss, ASU President Dr. Crow, has talked about kind of reinventing the whole university model for the 21st century. How does that look? Because when you think about the university model, in many ways, it is dated.
Oh, he would call it, and I saw him on Tuesday, and he called it archaic.
Yeah.
It doesn't change much. It largely, the institutions are, especially state institutions, don't change fast. But they do need to change. If Arizona is going to meet the workforce needs of the next 10 years, I'm not even talking in 30 or 40 years, but we're talking about the next 5 to 10 years. If they're going to meet it, the university system has to be able to shift, has to be able to adjust. And the community college system has gotten onto that. I mean, you look at what Lee Lambert has done in Pima Community College, mm-hmm. and the way that he's adjusted that institution to meet the local needs. ASU is doing the very same thing in a much larger way. We're doing that. The innovation is in access. The research is always needed. The instruction is always needed. But we shouldn't be Dr. Crow always says we shouldn't be identifying ourselves by who didn't get in.
Mm-hmm.
But we should be creating access and opportunity for as many people as possible, because we need that skilled, trained workforce. We need it. So it's not about saying, well, we're this prestigious institution that only accepts X number of students. No, we want to create a system in which as many people as possible have access. That's why he's launched ASU's online degree programs which are accessible everywhere. I mean, that we have over 200,000 or 150,000
all over the world. Right?
And that's just the online students. That's not the in-person.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the direction that he's moving, is creating access through the internet, using technology, using innovation that allows for access. And he's leveraging that in education. And it's not even just at the post-secondary level. We have ASU Prep, which is a fully online K-12 education system. And not only do we have an in-person charter school up in Phoenix, Central Phoenix, but we partner with the school districts to help them with their online needs. A lot of the public education systems hadn't moved at all towards online education, but the pandemic forced them. And now they have programs that they stood up for the pandemic, and that money that they were using to stand them up is going away. So now they need to know what the other options are. So we're working with the school districts actively to train teachers on online education and to help them manage, even with teacher shortages, manage getting quality education to students both in person and fully online. So that's just a sub part of it, but it's about creating access and leveraging technology so that people have access to the education.
We're speaking with John Winchester, who was recently named Southern Arizona Director of ASU's Government and Community Engagement Team. He is our Sun Corridor interviewee of the month. Sun Corridor Inc., you like what's going on with that playbook that they put out then?
Yeah, I think that there's a lot of synergy. I think
we talked about workforce development.
And there's a couple of other, and they have three or four other points that they've concluded in that for direction forward. Mm-hmm. But there, like I said, Bill, I work in Southern Arizona Leadership Council, Sun Corridor, the Tucson Metro Chamber. There's a lot of synergy mm-hmm. in where people are at, and people are talking to each other in a way that I've never seen in Southern Arizona. Because of the great need for us to move forward, and Joe Snell is a leader in that, and he's convening minds throughout the region to say what's next. That's coming up, he's going to be engaging in that next. But there's a lot more Sun Corridor, and with everything that they do, what they have done really well and are continuing to do really well is gather the voices of the people and the leaders that are in Southern Arizona to say, how do we prepare for the future and how do we proceed now? And they've done a phenomenal job in leading in that.
All right. We'll wrap this up. How can people reach you if someone wants to talk with you?
You can send me an email, john.j.winchester@asu.edu. If that's too much, and it is a mouthful, go ahead and find me on Facebook. You can find me on LinkedIn. You can find me on pretty much anywhere. The website at Arizona State University.
Pretty accessible guy.
I love talking to people.
I can tell. All right. Thank you very much, John. Good luck with the new job.
Thanks so much for your time, Bill.
For more information about Sun Corridor Inc., visit suncorridorinc.com. That's going to wrap it up for the Buckmaster Show. Our thanks to John Winchester, our guest, and Matt Neely, engineering and producing the show on the other side of the glass, doing a great job. I'm Bill Buckmaster. After CBS Network News, we've got Dave Ramsey, his very popular show about money. Have a great afternoon, everybody.